So, Father, we just we thank you for this time to come together. We just praise you. We ask you just guide us tonight. That just bless you and bless each other. And we just praise you for this time together and this fellowship of people that you've brought together. And Lord, you are sovereign, and you know you've got a plan for all of us, and we just thank you that we can fellowship one with another and be in like minds with one, you know, with each other that are, you know, just running after you and want to come into your fullness and be overcomers. We just praise you for that, and we just call that tonight we'll be blessed. We just take authority over the principalities and powers that would try to cause any issues in the equipment or communication, and we just call all the calls to be clear and no distractions. And we just thank you, Lord, for just guiding and directing us tonight, Lord. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and start off with prayer. And does anybody need prayer or would like to pray for somebody? Or
hey, Tim.
Hey, Jackie.
I would like if you could pray for my brother, Randy. He's suffering right now in a lot of pain. He on Sunday he texted and thought he saw some blood in his urine and had some questions, what he thought it might be, asking my advice and stuff, and we just came against it and agreed in prayer, and it went away and then it came back, and I think today, might have been yesterday, he went to the doctors. He was a little concerned and they took a sample and he's waiting to get it back, and then today he started having severe pain in his lower back. In the natural, trying not to think of what it could be and trying to encourage him. And he's really struggling with a lot of anxiety and fear, and he's having really severe pain right now. He can hardly even speak on the phone, so if you could pray for him. And his wife happens to be out of town and with their one son, and his other son is at work, so he's by himself, and I try to encourage him in putting all his faith and trust in the Father, even though when we're alone, we're not alone because the Lord's with us, and try to speak encouragement and faith into him from what the Lord's taken me through on my own, and some of it's receptive, but I think a spirit of anxiety or fear is trying to attack him, and he just needs a lot of prayer because he's really suffering.
Okay. He is a believer?
Yes, sir. Yes, he's saved.
Awesome.
He's still in the apostate religion system, but
yeah, that's all right.
He's seen the miracles the Lord's worked through me, so he's a strong believer.
So he's seen the testimonies. So that's awesome.
Yeah, amen.
So, all right, everybody, let's put our faith together for Randy, and we're gonna see a miracle here. So, Father, right now we just come to you, and you know what's going on with Randy, and right now he's in fear, and he's got anxiety on him, and we just take authority over those spirits right now. And we just bind and rebuke fear off him now, right now, in the name of Jesus. We come against this anxiety. We command it to loose him now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to help him to get his eyes on you. And whatever, you know, if there's any lies or any distractions in his head, we just, you know, come against that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, you know what's going on with him. We just come against, you know, whatever's going on in his body. We just call that, you know, the blood in his urine to be healed, whatever's causing that to be healed in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke this pain, and we call that pain to cease in Jesus' name, and we just forbid it. And we just thank you, Lord, for just comforting him and just drawing him to you and getting his faith in you and not in man. We just come against any bad report from the doctors. We forbid it in Jesus' name that those, you know, reports will come back negative, and that he'll be healed by the Lord, and we just, by you, Lord, he's already healed. He just has to know that. And Father, we just thank you for this trial of his faith, and we just ask that you fill him full of faith, Lord, that you give him a dream, that you just, you know, just touch him where, you know, you get his attention. And he can get his eyes and faith on you, Lord. And we just praise you for that. And we just ask you to just cover Vicki during this. Give her wisdom as far as to speaking to Randy. And we give you the glory for this healing and this miracle. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else need prayer? Want us to put our faith together with you? Okay.
Yeah, let's pray for Sandy and Jeff. Lord, I just ask and I pray, Father, that they won't have any more problems that on the way out there, and that the way is cleared for them, just like we prayed the night before. And, Lord, we thank you that it's all going to be good from this point on. And, Father, we just ask and we pray that you would place it in Ricky's heart to allow the cheapest way for this to this burial to take place, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for binding up all of those demons, those controlling demons, in Jesus' name, and casting them out. In the name of Jesus, there won't be any problems, that Mother May is going to come back with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So are they getting close, Michael?
I talked to them about, I guess it was around 6 o'clock or 5:30, 6 o'clock, and they were about 300 miles away. And, of course, Jeff's wanting to pull over, and Sandy said, no, we're going to try to go all the way through. She's ready to get out of that car. So anyway, that's they'll probably, hopefully they'll make it tonight.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else need prayer or want to pray for somebody? Or does anybody just want to tell them?
Yeah, I would just like to ask Ms. Sue, just agree with me that Michael's lungs are totally healed in the name of Jesus, and that... And that this infirmity is gone, this cough and this congestion is cast out in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, for Michael's healed lung. And also his good back in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We just put our faith together with Michael and Sue. And we just command that coughing to stop in the name of Jesus. We command whatever is causing that to cease in Jesus' name. We command those lungs to open up. And we just come against this attack on his body right now. And we forbid it in Jesus' name. And we just call just a restful night's sleep tonight, that he will just... just get a good night's sleep, and we just rebuke whatever this infirmity is off him now in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go in Jesus' name, and we just praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All right, Michael, you're healed.
Amen. I believe it.
I receive it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right, who else? Anybody else need prayer? All right. How about any testimonies? Anything you want to bring
well,
on the Lord?
I didn't want to tell Gaynold that word from the Lord she had was an awesome word. You know, we can hear it, but when we look at it and we study it and we meditate on it, we get a lot out of it. And we went ahead and blogged that today or yesterday, and it was awesome. It's awesome. Right along with what the Lord's been telling us all along.
Yeah, when Gaynold first shared that, she said that it was for her, but when she shared it, it was like, no, that's definitely for the body.
Amen.
So I haven't seen the blog. I haven't read it again, but it was I just know it just definitely, you know, definitely blessed me as far as that. So but it was awesome.
Yes, so. This is Gaynold. I was just going to say, you know, when the Lord kind of prompted me to share the word that I got, I couldn't even remember what I got. I had to go back and read it. I had forgotten. And, you know, because I wasn't really thinking about sharing it because I thought it was just for me. But I guess he knew differently. So anyway, I'm glad that it blessed you. That was the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely for the body. Amen.
Yeah, that was, sometimes when you don't remember it like that, it's just, you know, it's the Lord. There's times he shows me stuff, but then when you try to, you know, bring it forth, it's, you got to go back and look at it, which is awesome. So that was very good.
I guess now that I'm on, I wasn't planning to share this. Marlon isn't here right now, but he was going to pray, I think, for some of his family members. You know, we've had some losses this week, but I've thought of another one because I think he will be here later and he can do that. But my sister-in-law passed away in July, and we hadn't been especially close to her daughter until her mother was really sick, and then we saw quite a bit of her. And she called me this week, and her dad got really sick this week. And yesterday they determined that he has meningitis, and he's just extremely ill. He's in the hospital. I think he's 79. And so if you'd want to pray for him, that would be good.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I think also to pray for salvation, because I don't believe that, I know my sister-in-law had started going to church and she was receiving some of the things that we were sharing from UBM, but this, the dad of her daughter is, was it my brother? She was married before, so it was from a previous relationship. And I don't believe that he is saved, not that I know of. And so I would also like prayer for his salvation.
Okay.
As well as healing.
All right. And what is his name?
They call him Bud. I'm not sure
Bud?
What his given
okay.
name is, but they call him Bud.
Well, the Lord knows who he is. So.
That's right, he does.
So, Father, right now, we just put our faith together with Marlon and Gaynold, and Lord, first we just lift up Bud to you, Lord, and you know where he stands with you, Lord, and we just ask that you just take this time of him being in the hospital for him to reflect on his life, reflect on you, reflect on where he's at, and we ask, Lord, that you just grant him just repentance, that you grant him, you know, just salvation, that you will just open that door for him and to get his heart right with you, Lord. And we just pray that you have mercy on him and give him just a total change of mind. And whatever the lie in his head is or anything going on that's keeping him from you, we just bind up that enemy. We bind up that devil right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you just, you know, speak to him, give him a dream, just put, give him an earning for you, Lord. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you just don't take him until he's right with you. And you know, we pray for, you know, their sister-in-law, too, that pray for her salvation, and that this situation will be used to draw them both to you, Lord. And Lord, right now, he's in the hospital, and they're claiming meningitis. And Lord, we just ask that you just intervene in this situation, Lord. And we just come against that meningitis. And we just thank you that he is healed, that you're going to heal him, and that you're going to get the glory and not the not man. And we just put our faith together for that, Lord, that he'll get right with you and get healed, and you'll get the glory. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, was there somebody else that was trying to come in?
Yeah, Jim.
Judy.
Yeah, it was me.
Awesome.
I had a really good praise report today. My landlord, I have a person staying with me, and he doesn't, for some reason, want you to have guests. But he wanted us to let him know when we had a guest. And on my contract, it says I can have a guest for 5 days. But then he was limited to 3 days, and then he was going to start charging the person if they stayed longer than that. But today I just prayed about it, and I said, okay. So I called him, and I told him that I had gotten my contract out, and it says that, you know, I can have a guest for 5 days. And he hauled around, and then he said, well, now, she's not a person that's going to come back every month and stay. I said, no, she's a college girl. She just needs someone to stay. So actually, I couldn't believe that he was so nice, and things went so smooth. And he said, yeah, he was only going to let her stay 3 days. Now he's going to let her stay the whole 5 days. And I just thanked the Lord and praised him. That was just such an awesome talk. I hung up and I was just dancing all around.
Well, that's just a total answer to prayer, you know, because we prayed on Wednesday, and we bound up that fear on him, and we just ask for favor, and that's God's favor right there.
I just thanked him. Oh man, that was so awesome. Anyhow, I wanted to tell everybody that.
Awesome. That's a answer prayer right there. So, Father, we just thank you for just working in Steve's heart, and we just thank you for we're praying for his true salvation. He claims to be a Christian, and he's bound up in fear and anxiety, and is got, you know, very little fruit of faith. And we just ask, Lord, that you just get a hold of him. You know, there's a bunch of people praying for him, and we just thank you for just granting him just a renewed mind and just a hunger for truth and hunger for righteousness to walk right with you and to bear the fruit of Christ and just in, you know, his actions with other people and, you know, how he runs his business. We just ask, Lord, that you just do a miracle in him, and we just praise you for that. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else have a testimony? How about anything that any dreams, anything the Lord has brought forth, revelation, anything come alive in the Word? Or yeah, we had Wednesday we do a kind of a Bible study. We go through, you know, one of the books, and we ended up, I thought it was, and sometimes we kind of drift off, and we go in different areas and stuff like that, which is kind of neat, and it's really, you know, anything that anybody's dealing with, or Just sharing, you know, just anything. It could go in just any direction. Sort of like, you know, this conference call. But there was something that came out. I wrote down and it was somewhere. I think it was a sign that, you know, somebody saw in somebody's refrigerator, and it said that pride makes excuses and humility makes changes. And I was really, you know, seeing that when they shared that is, you know, when you're in pride and the old man is in control and you make a lot of excuses in what you do. But when you're walking in, you know, humble with the Lord, and you want to be right with the Lord, and things are pointed out that may be unpleasing to the Lord, or He's pointing out some areas of your flesh, or you know, you're learning some things through some trials that the overcomers, you know, that really want to be right with the Lord, that want to walk humble before Him, make changes. You know, they don't make excuses. And I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting that the pride and the excuses are, you know, worldly and of the enemy, and walking, you know, meek and humble and in humility and wanting to change is really, you know, being led of God, and not led of your flesh or led of the enemy. And, you know, the other thing that kind of tied into this that we were talking about, when the Lord's working on you and is showing you something, that the God brings conviction, you know, in you as far as to change. And the enemy brings condemnation and wants you to get your eyes focused on yourself or condemn yourself for what you're doing, it just gets your eyes off of God. But when the Lord brings conviction and you're walking in humility and with a spirit of change, that you want to change, that you want to walk, you know, right before the Lord, he just honors that. But the enemy, sometimes that conviction that the Lord brings, the enemy will twist it to condemnation. Oh, look what you did again, and, you know, you're never going to get it right, or whatever it is. And he's always trying to get you to, you know, get your eyes on yourself or condemn yourself. You know, when you fail a trial or you fall into the flesh or something like that. But the Lord just wants you to see it, repent, change your mind, change your ways, and move on, you know, through that conviction. So that was, it was kind of a neat, we had a conversation on that. So it was kind of a blessing to me. So I just thought I would, kind of share it. So, any thoughts on that? As far as the ploys of the enemy compared to how the Lord wants you to walk?
I have a thought.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Thank you. Maybe even a question. What you said was something I was struggling with today, actually. Falling before the Lord again in a way that I've repented of in the past. And I had to bind up condemnation and cast it off. And I was reviewing the scriptures of how Paul says, you know, where he does what he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do what he wants to do. And I came before the Lord, and I, so what you were saying just now, really struck a chord because I just struggled with that today in different areas. And I know the Lord, you had said something now like the Lord wants you to overcome it and just repent and then move on. But my question, I guess, would be, how do you overcome if you keep getting attacked in some same areas? And if you're praying to overcome in the same areas against, you know, different spirits and things, you can go so long, like you said, and do well and do well and do well and then fall again in front of the Lord, and you just, at least I feel just awful, you know, it just hurts so much. And I know He permits the temptations, and I know He permits a way out, but what I struggle with sometimes is understanding what the way out is. You know, if you get on your knees and you're in prayer, and you're asking the Father for grace to get through the trial, and sometimes you get through it, and other times you fall, and that's what I'm not understanding, I guess, if you can understand my question there.
Well, I think so, and maybe you know, I'll kind of share what my experience is that I know that, you know, when I'm in a trial, there's times like you that I see it, I pray, and I get out of it, and then there's time where I don't get right out of it. And a lot of times with me is there's something in me, there's an open door, there's something the Lord is trying to show me, you know, either a hardness in my heart or some criticalness or some unforgiveness or whatever it could be, you know, where I'm just, you know, having a hard time, you know, getting out of this, you know, this trial. And sometimes I need to really press into the Lord and not just say, you know, sometimes when I'm praying or I see something, sometimes the enemy will kind of throw out, you know, like a sacrificial spirit or, you know, what I call, or something. I see it and I think that's it. And I repent of that, and I think everything's going to be fine, and I go on my ways. But I don't get out of that trial, and you know, after a time, it's like, what is going on? And then I've got to press back in and see there's another root there. And sometimes with me, it's pressing in to get to the root, to get that root pulled out. You know, sometimes we just, you know, pull the top of the weed off, but we don't get into the root, and that weed keeps coming back. So, and then what happens is that when we're in that trial for a while, that we can fall into self-pity, fall into rejection. And it opens up the door, and condemnation is really a spirit, just like guilt and a lot of different things, that it'll just be a heaviness that will come on you. But, and a lot of times that happens with me because I get my eyes off the Lord and I've got my eyes on myself. So I don't know if that kind of answers it or if anybody else has any thought on that.
Well, that's exactly it. If we keep our eyes, just like I talked about last night, if you get your eyes on your inward self, inside yourself, and rather than on Jesus, that's what's going to happen. You're not going to get away from that thing. But if you, like Tim was talking about, if you pray and or ask somebody else to pray with you, and rebuke whatever it is, you know, and then get your eyes back on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus is the key getting out of that trial, so to speak. Does that make sense, Jackie?
Yes, sir. It does make sense. I know praying with a body keeps you more accountable, too. And I understand, you know, confessing it.
Absolutely, yeah. I see, too.
You know, to get prayer, which I've done, but it seems like I still am attacked by some similar spirits. And I just didn't know, because you do feel, once you repent, you know, to the Father first and pray for strength not to sin again. And then to remain accountable, you know, and transparent in front of one another is a big help. But I just don't see exactly yet what the root is, I guess. I'm not sure.
Well, let's, I guess we can pray. I mean, is this something that you keep dealing with from the past? I mean, is this a trial that's been there for a while, or is this kind of a new trial that you just can't get out of?
It just comes and goes. Like, I'll be attacked for a while, and then it's gone for a long, long while. Like, I'll stand against it and pray and come against different things. And then, I feel a lot of peace and comfort from the Lord and a lot of grace, and I feel like I've overcome, and it could be months and months and months and months, and then, like, thoughts will come back again, and you know, I've been studying, because, you know, the enemy will say, you know, like, you can't do that, it's just too hard, or it's too much to overcome, but I know, you know, any sin in our own is too much to overcome, but through Christ, you know, with the Holy Spirit in me, I mean, it's a piece of cake for Him, you know, and I'm a willing vessel. So I guess I've just been battling with the condemnation because, you know, as I, if I fall, you know, and I've called Michael numerous times for prayers on different things that I struggle with, and we pray, and I agree, and I believe, and I do seem to overcome, but then it seems at times I'm just being tossed to and fro, and I remember confessing that to Michael just recently, you know, when trials come up, sometimes I could be so strong and steadfast, and other times I feel like I'm just being whipped around, and like the enemy's just kind of like laughing, so I don't understand where that's coming from, and I just would like to get rid of it.
Yeah, I understand. you know, sometimes we, you know, we get those trials, we just want out, and I've been there, and a lot of things you're saying I can totally relate to. But, you know, and I know that, you know, some of the things that you're sharing, you know, I know Trish has gone through and she is a prayer warrior, and she, you know, she goes through trials, and, you might even want to give her a call. I think you've got her number, give her a call sometime, and just, you know, just from a different perspective, from a woman's perspective, and I know, you know, she'll press in with you, and you know, sometimes God gives her discernment. So I don't know. We can, let's just pray right now that the Lord will just reveal this root. So Father, we just lift up Jackie to you, and Lord, she just. She wants to get free and clear of this trial that she falls in and out of. And, Lord, she doesn't know what the root is. She doesn't know what the cause is. She doesn't know, you know, that. But we just ask, Lord, that it be exposed. And she wants to walk right before you and just overcome this trial. So, Lord, we just ask you just expose what you're trying to show her, you know, if there's something there or if it's just a lie. And we just call that to be exposed in Jesus' name. We ask you to give Jackie a dream or, you know, just whatever it takes to expose it so she can get free, because you're her deliverer. And we just thank you for setting her free in this situation. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, that's... Because I know with me that there's seasons where, you know, I'm in the rest and just pressing in the Lord and just really in a good place, and then all of a sudden you just get sideswiped and then you're in a trial and you're waking up, you got this heaviness on you, you got confusion on you, or, you know, whatever it is, and just your joy's being stolen from you, and you don't want to be there, but usually, you know, there's a cause there. There's a lie that you're believing, or there's a, you know, you've been turned over because of, you know, some sin or, you know, whatever it is, and the Lord's just trying to get your attention. And I'm like you, I hate it. And it's sometimes when you're just, you know, you think you've repented of everything and it's like, Lord, I just can't take much more of this.
Exactly. Right. And an example I can give you is on my travels home this past week, I was coming from up north, northwest, and I was doing well. I mean, I had a blessed time with family. I was with spirit-filled family, and it was truly a blessing. And I pulled over at a rest stop, and I had Spot with me. And so Spot and I, you know, popped the tailgate on the Jeep, and we sat in the back, and we're having a sandwich. And when it was done, I thought, well, should I get gas or not? And I thought, yeah, I might as well fill up while I'm here. So I filled up. Well, there was a woman that was at a pump behind me that was elderly. And the whole time on the road, I had been praying either in the spirit or listening to some teachings, just praising the Lord. And I was in perfect peace and rest. Well, this woman hit my Jeep and took off. And we weren't hurt. And apparently she wasn't hurt. And it was a hit and run. And immediately I just fell out of the rest. I mean, like, immediately I just was, so I was upset at first that she hit my Jeep, and, you know, first I didn't know what happened because it was moving while I was pumping gas, and I thought, is that Spot in the back? He's getting awful excited about something because the whole Jeep was rocking, and then I heard a big crunch, and here it was her, and, you know, I stopped pumping gas, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you hit me. And I was like, you hit me. And I was the first word that came out, I was like, seriously, Lord? We were just having such a blessed day. And then I repented. I was like, okay, you're trying to show me something, but I don't know what. And so then I thought she was going to pull over, and she just took off. Well, then I had to run back to the gas pump and finish pumping, and then I didn't know what to do because I had never been hit and run before, and so I pulled over, and, you know, I got shook up about it and started crying, and I thought, just instantly, it reminds me of the scriptures, how you can be just thrown to and fro because you're in complete rest, praising the Lord, and then, like, a situation comes, and I've had numerous situations like that recently, and the only thing I could keep thinking is that the Father's just put me through boot camp so I'm ready for when the tribulation starts so that things won't affect me, because I'm a very emotional person the last several years. So anyway, I had called Michael, and we had prayed, and we had prayed for the woman's salvation, and I was praying for her and lifting her up the whole time, and the police did apprehend her. This was in Ohio. They had the Ohio State Patrol looking for her. And I had a witness. I believe the Lord sent him as an angel to help me. His name was Jason. And I just praise God for him because he was there to help guide me along a little bit. And so I had told him, you know, I had witnessed to him. And I think that helped him in his walk a little bit. And I witnessed to the trooper that was with me for a while. And anyway, they did apprehend the woman, and Pennsylvania about an hour and a half later. So I was praying for her because she was elderly, and I thought she was traveling alone by herself. And sometimes it's hard when you're traveling by yourself. It's nice to have the fellowship just with a father, but it is nice to have a human body sometimes next to you if you're tired from driving, or just to have conversation with or fellowship with. So I was praying for her. So that was one of the situations that really shook me up, because I couldn't have been more in a complete perfect rest. I was full of joy of the Lord, and just like wham, somebody smashes into my Jeep, and then I just totally lose it. And when I got out of the car, with a trooper, I dropped my cell phone, and that had broke, and it was just one thing after another. So I don't understand. I don't see any reason for it, but I know there has to be a reason if the Father brought it across my path, unless it's just, like I said, maybe to strengthen me in my faith and get me to not move on my emotions. When you have been preaching about emotions much lately, last Tuesday you talked about having emotions, and I was actually fellowshipping with a sister recently about a lot of this. And we were discussing emotions and stuff. So I don't know. That's one situation that I was sort of trying to talk about. But I praise God because I didn't get hurt, and the woman apparently didn't get hurt. And they said when they pulled her over, she was 79 and confused. And my heart just went out for her. I was just really pressing in prayer for her. And I hope the Lord gives me a chance to witness to her and speak to her personally. And I did have my Jeep, had an estimate on it today, and, it's not bad at all. But I think the Father was trying to show me, too, about how things in the world just won't matter, how the Jeep, I think he was showing me my revelation, like the Jeep is just a vehicle to get you from point A to point B, and even though it got smashed, and, the internal part of it, like, which was me, the center of it, if I remain in Christ, like, I won't get harmed. And then when I broke my cell phone, I thought, well, okay, it's broke, but there's going to be a time where we may not have cell phones and have the email and, have internet and have the conference call. So I feel like maybe he's just trying to, since I had come from being such a dependent person to being just independent only in him, and not rely on things like this to help me get through, if that makes any sense. But I don't see any root for what happened. I just don't understand it. But I just praise him for the trial, though, because it witnessed the two people, the trooper and Jason, the witness. And he did keep me safe, and he kept Spot safe. And
could I say something?
Sure.
Go ahead, Linda.
What your story kind of reminds me of Brother Eel's story, and one of you may be able to tell it more clearly, because it's been years since I've heard his story, because I've been with him since 2000 almost. But he talks about his wife had a wreck, and I think one of the kids was in the car, and literally it was to bless them. And it's just a wonderful testimony. Michael, do you remember that testimony?
Yeah, that's when he got the house paid for in Pensacola.
Could you tell her that'll help her, because it was a blessing for Brother Eels.
Yeah, I vaguely remember hearing that on either the Real Good News or Power of the Tongue or something, one of those, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those.
Was it?
Yeah, he is on one of those faith messages, I know. But the Lord had told him that he was going to buy him a house and free and clear, and don't worry about it, and also furnish him money. And this guy rammed in the back end of Mary, and it was a Lincoln or a Cadillac or something like that. This guy was the owner of a large corporation there in town, and he had his own insurance, and just was really apologetic. And anyway, ended up the whole thing settled out, and he'd given them enough money to buy another car, also to buy the house in Pensacola, I believe, and just Lord just blessed them. That's what they did, you know. It's just believe and just keep your eyes on him and don't worry about the situation that's around you. It's just like when David was in that convenience store, pulled in there in that Datsun truck, and he'd prayed over his vehicle because the Lord had told him to cancel his comprehensive insurance on that truck because he was going to insure it from now on. And then that guy hit the back end of his truck and just about totaled the car that hit him. But all it did was get a little bit of paint on the light lens, on the rear light lens. And you know, as well as I do, I had a Datsun truck. That thing wasn't nothing but a tin can. But when the Lord blesses it, it's a tank. And that's what happened to him. So, yeah, just have faith to believe, you know. And we talked about that. And, Jackie, you did real good that day. You know, after we talked, we blessed her. And you know, you're gonna see reap some benefits out of that by not getting all upset and lowering the hammer on her and all that, so to speak. Amen.
Amen. I didn't really feel anger at her. Immediately I felt like, geez, I can't believe I was just hit and she took off, you know, and there was like at least 20 people around and they're like, man, she just hit you and took off. And I was like, I know, seriously, I don't know what happened. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And like, there was nobody there that I knew. And I was like, I don't know what to do, you know. And I got in the car and like the Lord just led me on what to do. And you know, the Jeep is fine. I mean, like, there's not much damage to it at all. It is almost like a tank like that. And I heard a loud, you know, crunch on her. So I think she must have hit me with her front end on the driver's side and then just dragged her car to the back end because she got stuck. Her tire well or wheel well was stuck on my Jeep. And she got out and she looked and, you know, and I spoke to her. But when she saw the troopers, she said she didn't know. She thought she hit a curb, but she was confused. So I've been lifting her up in prayer. Her name is Ruth. If anybody is glad to lift her up in prayer. And I just hope somehow the Lord brings the cross that I could speak to her because I've just been praying peace over her heart and her mind. I don't want her to have any anxiety or any ill feelings or any fear, you know, because I know, you know, traveling alone at that age, she's almost 80, it's not easy for her, so I don't know her situation or circumstance. I just praise God for that, but that was one of the situations I was insinuating. I mean, I was in perfect rest, and then I felt like I was just, like, within an instant once I was hit, you know, I was just thrown out of the rest, and I don't know how to get to stay in that rest when something, to me, that was, like, big that happened, not major, but something that would just shake you up like that. I don't know, when a shaking comes like that, how to stay in the rest.
You know, Brother Eels, I think at the time was helping us to understand, you know, to praise the Lord and thank the Lord anytime a circumstance shocks us, you know, because we all get shocked. But if we'll just let praise the Lord come out of our mouth, thank you, Lord, we can depend on God working everything for good. We kind of have to practice it, you know, just when you're hit, well, praise the Lord, you know. And that'll activate the God that's in us, our faith, to just make it work for good. And what I do, I mean, honey, life doesn't make sense. We just praise the Lord anyway, every time, even when we're, you know, crying. I've done that, you know, because it scared me so bad or something. But I'll just say, praise the Lord, and that's what Brother Eels was trying to teach us. And the testimonies about what happened to him was just such a great example of how God worked it for good. It was beyond their imagination. And, of course, you know, life, God's ways are higher than our ways. And our job is just to praise the Lord anyway and thank the Lord and walk in love and watch God work it for good.
Amen, amen. I was praising him for how it says in James, you know, how it's working patience and for patience to have its perfect work.
That's what's going on, honey. That's what's going on.
Amen.
You're growing.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I'll share another little testimony with you. Is there's a sister in the local assembly, and I don't know when it was, 6 months, 9 months, a year ago or something. She was going to replace her car, and the Lord told her no. You know, at that time, I think at first, you know, she got an okay to replace the car. She wasn't in a hurry. She was having some mechanical issues on it, and that got taken care of, and so she got it fixed, and then she was going to sell that and get a new car, and then the Lord told her, you know, no, you know, at that time. And then maybe a month ago or so, she called me up, and she said, the Lord just released me to get a new car. And I typically, you know, help, you know, people find, you know, find, I just have bought a lot of vehicles, so I'll help people find vehicles. And she told me what her price range was and what she was looking for, and she wasn't in a hurry. And so I was just watching, and, you know, I'd find a vehicle here or there, and then it'd either sell real quick or there would be something, the Lord would close the door. And then all of a sudden a real nice vehicle came by at a real, real fair price. And it was somebody that had to move out of state, and he had to get a truck so he could move, and he needed to sell this. And I mean, the price was a very nice car, and it actually had more, she wasn't into a lot of luxury type things, but this was actually kind of a luxury car. That she really didn't need, but for the price, it was a great buy. And so we ended up, we prayed about it, and the Lord opened up the door, and we picked up this car, and it was a beautiful car. And then she ended up, during this time that we were looking, somebody else in the fellowship had gotten into a car accident, and, you know, it clipped somebody. They were having some other issues with the car as far as transmission and stuff like that, and decided that they weren't going to put the money into it to fix it. And the Lord had told her previously to give the car that she had away, I think to this person, but I don't know the whole story behind that, but she ended up giving her car to this person, and the car she had was a nice car. And so she gave her old car away and got this new car, and this car was just, you know, it's just a real nice car, and you know, the Lord blessed her, and she didn't have it more than, I know it wasn't more than a week, and somebody backed into her and crushed one of her doors, you know? And it was the same type of situation where at first she was thinking, What did I do wrong? Shouldn't I have gotten this car? You know, she was kind of doubting, you know, she just felt that the Lord was in this whole thing. But when somebody backed into her, she was doubting, you know, why this happened. Okay. But then she came to, you know, to realize it was a testing of her faith and her patience, you know. And she came to the point where she was willing to, because it's a very nice car, she was willing to drive this car with the door, you know, crushed in, as far as that, as a, you know, kind of a, you know, if that's, you know, if that's, you know, she was willing to do that, and which I thought was pretty awesome. And so the Lord was working something out in her, you know, in this situation too. And the Lord's done the same thing with me. You know, I've shared a few testimonies, but I've had, somebody back into one of my vehicles that was part of the local assembly, and cave in, you know, the like the bumper, you know, type thing. And when that happened, it was a test for me, because when something got scratched or dented or whatever it was, it would just really irritate me, and I'd get angry and stuff like that. And during this time is when I was laid up with my leg, and the Lord was already working on me, and, you know, had brought a chastening on me. And this was one of my trials. And when my son came in, says, "Hey, Dad, I got something to tell you." He knew, you know, from my past that, you know, when something like that would happen, I would get extremely angry, upset, you know, whatever. And he told me that, hey, somebody backed into the car, and there's a big dent in the bumper, you know. And I knew, and at that point, I knew I could feel my flesh flare up a little bit, but then I knew it was a trial for me, and I just had to let it go and come to the situation. Well, you know, it's just a bumper. It's not a big deal. And that was a breakthrough for me. But the neat part of that whole thing was he drove the car to school couple days later, and while he was in school, the Lord healed that car. He came out from school, and that ding that was, or that dent or whatever it was that was in that car, had popped out. And you know, he came home so excited, because he had prayed on the way to school that the Lord would give us favor on getting that fixed, and it wouldn't be expensive. And, you know, so he was praying on the way to school, and he comes out and it's popped out, and it just built his faith. And it was just an awesome, awesome testimony for him. But even now, I mean, just recently, you know, we have meetings, and there was one night I was over at Michael and Sue's, and I backed into their mailbox, and I put this big scratch and a ding down the back of my car, and it was like, it was a test. You know, am I going to get into the flesh? Because this was something I did. And there's been several things like that. One morning, I backed out with I've got a pickup truck, and I backed out. Didn't even, because usually, you know, my wife and I park side by side, but for some reason her car was in the driveway. I backed out, and I backed right into the front of her car and put the trailer hitch right through the front bumper of her car and smashed up the back of my truck. And I'm like, and I did. I backed in without even hitting the brakes. And it was. And the thing was, is at the time I was in a trial. And the reason I ran into that is because I was consumed in my thoughts, and I just backed out, and I didn't look in the rearview mirrors, and I smashed right into her car. But it was a trial for me. So the Lord, you know, he'll do these things just to see how we're going to handle it. And are we going to allow our flesh to flare up? Are we going to get into condemnation? Are we going to get angry at the Lord? How are we going to handle it when it's just, you know, in the long run, is it really going to matter 5 years from now? Is it really going to matter in our salvation? You know, we just have these things that we make, you know, so important, but you know, it really doesn't matter in the long run as far as that. So, but he's been working on me. So
maybe mine is just to work out anxiety or something. As soon as it happens, like, I had no anger or ill feelings towards the father or her. I wanted to make sure Spot was okay, you know, and I was praying this woman was okay, but she took off, and I figured, well, she must be okay if she floored it. And she was, like, in the next state, you know, by the time the troopers found her. And I was detained with the one trooper in Ohio for, you know, quite some time. And I wasn't worried about the Jeep. You know, I looked at it, and then I drove it, and I thought, well, it feels okay, so it must be okay. So I just prayed that I would get home with it. And I did, and like I said, you know, I got the estimate today, so none of the that materialistic part doesn't really bother me. But I just get upset at myself that I get so shaken, you know, like, unless it's, I mean, we shouldn't have normal reactions as a Christian. Like, I should be stronger, that when something shakes you like that, I'm not, you know, I don't just start crying, you know, and get so upset, you know, get so nervous, or I don't even know if nervous is the right word, just so affected by it, you know, momentarily. But, you know, and then I thought, well, Lord, what do I do? And then I was praying, and then I thought, well, I'll just call Michael and ask him to pray for me. And he got a big kick out of the lady taking off. It was funny.
It is funny. I mean, it's just, because what happens is when you say something like that, like, we reflect on what would we do in a situation like that, you know, where somebody backs into you and you think they're going to move and they floor it and take off. It was,
yeah.
It's like, how do you handle something like that? So, I mean, I was thinking the same thing. It was like, you know, would I jump in the truck and run after them, or... That's probably what I would do. You know, I would try to chase them down and cut them off. And if they were 78 years old or not, I don't know. You know, it's like
all I could picture in my mind was this wrinkled up old lady in blue hair, you know, humped over the steering wheel, getting it, boy, taking off.
Yeah, and the bad thing was I couldn't even take off right after because I was hooked up to the gas pump, and she stopped, like, you know, between a gas pump and where the big rigs park, you know, on a rest stop on the turnpike. And so I thought she was just going to pull into a spot, so I was kind of running after her. And then I remembered that I was still at gas pumping in the Jeep, so I had to run back to the Jeep. And then I thought, you know, and that was my first reaction, was to chase her down too and get her. But I did have her plate number. I just couldn't remember what color the car was or what kind it was, but I was able... The Lord just had me just read off her plate number, and I remembered it. So I guess I'll just have to press in for that so I don't get anxious or so worked up, because it brings to mind, like, if, you know, real shakings come, you know, I pray the Lord would use me to witness to other people and shine my light and show truth to them. And if you're a basket case and you just cry when something, you know, shocking happens like that, you know. I just want to be fit for the kingdom. I want to be a good steward, and I want to be a good vessel, and I want to be a willing vessel to be used. I don't want emotions to come into play. So that was one of the examples when I was trying to ask before about how you know, when you keep... falling, you know, you do good and good and good, and I'll handle situations, but then when something a little bit stronger or bigger comes, you know, then this is what transpired from it. I should have kept my emotions intact and remained calm, and knowing that the Father's sovereign and He has everything under control, and I truly believe that, but at the moment it's just, I guess my eyes must have came off Christ, because then I just got all shaky and got my phone.
You know, I think this will make it go away. Just keep practicing praising the Lord at the next hit, whatever it is, you know, spirit, soul, or body. And eventually your body will line up and quit getting upset, you know, because we are supernatural and, you know, we're inside the blood of Jesus. And but we have to practice who we are. You know, we need to and so just keep practicing that, honey. And I think I'm calm as a cucumber almost anymore. Of course, I'm pretty old, but I've just decided to practice praising the Lord in everything and for everything. And if I feel a little jarred, I'll just go on a fast for a day. And it just calms me like velvet. So that's just a thought for you.
Thank you, amen. I appreciate it. I'm trying to count it all joy.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Everything. See, nothing can hurt us. We are inside of the blood of Jesus. And we need to kind of practice to remember that. You know, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And so we just have to kind of learn to practice being Jesus, inside of Jesus. You know, as Jesus is now, so are we now in this world. And we'll just get calmer and calmer and calmer. And God's getting us all ready for the big deal that's coming. And so you can just praise the Lord for that experience, to just praise the Lord about it and watch God work it for good.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. Jack, I don't think I ever told you this, but this summer when my husband was in that car accident, or the truck accident, I recognized exactly what you're saying, and it was a spirit of anxiety and nervousness. And I knew immediately it was a spirit because, you know, it was trying to pull me out of my rest. And I just hurried up and took authority over it, but it kept coming back, and I just kept fighting it. And what helped me a lot was I just started praying in spirit. And here, you know, because it was a bad report, you know. They said he couldn't move. He was like, you know, sitting in a truck, he couldn't even move. You know, they had to put him on a neck brace and everything. So my worst thought was like, oh my goodness, he's paralyzed, you know, and I had to bat that down. No, he's not. He's fine in the name of Jesus. And I know exactly what you're talking about, that emotional, you know, your first instinct, that is emotion. It is emotion, but I recognize it as a spirit of, you know, anxiety and nervousness. And once I cast that off, it did keep trying to come back, but I still kept casting it off. But what helped, I think, was praying in the spirit. And long story short, you know, my husband walked out of there at 10 o'clock at night. He just walked out of the hospital, you know. I mean, he was fine. So, and that, too, was a trial for me. It was a test. I really feel it was a test to see how we're going to handle things. Because I'm like you, Jackie, in that regard, because I'm always thinking, Lord, if I can't handle these things that come upon me, because I have things going on with my daughter and my son and, you know, just different things that come upon. And I'm like, if I can't even handle these things, you know, how am I going to handle the big thing? You know, like you were saying, and we just like Linda always says, we got to practice staying dead. And you know, just I don't know. What helped me was praying in the spirit. I really believe that's what, and God just gave me the grace to handle it, and like, you know, He gave us authority, and it was all the Lord. It was just all the Lord giving me the grace. I just wanted to share that.
You know, we can also just look forward really to the next challenge, because God says count it all joy when these things happen to you, because they're happening to help us grow up. And, you know, we're just learning, we're practicing staying dead and coming back with God's words, praise the Lord. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
No, that's good. And that's really what this is, you know, we're getting, you know, we're getting tested. You know, we have these trials coming. I mean, just Wednesday we were talking about when I first, you know, we're talking about birthing Christ and in one of the Bible studies. And I was just seeing when I first came to the Lord in that, and it was like, when I look back, it was like, you know, I'd get a trial, but it seemed like it'd be once every, you know, 3-4 months or something like that. But the more I'm walking in faith, okay, it just seems like those birthing pains, the contractions are coming closer and closer and closer together, and the trials are coming closer and closer together, and it's all for our perfection. Okay, he's bringing us into that perfection. So the way I look at it sometimes is, you know, when I, like with the situation with my car, whatever it is I look back and how I would have handled it 5 years ago, I would have been a total wreck. I would have been upset. I would have been cussing, swearing, whatever. But I didn't do any of that. I did. My flesh flared up. And that's really what we have to do. Is, you know, we blow it all the time. I mean, we something happens, we get anxious, we get into fear, we get out of the rest, but we just have to see that and say, you know, and just say, Lord, you know, I blew it here, I messed up here, I shouldn't have got anxious, I shouldn't have did this, whatever, you know, help me, you know, to stay in the rest. And you know, and I think we're all learning as we walk this walk, is as we get farther, down this narrow path, that we don't handle things now as we would have handled them 2 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever it is. We are growing on this journey. But sometimes when we blow it, then, you know, condemnation tries to come in and, you know, look what you did, why did you do that, you know, type thing. And he just needs us to say, you know, yeah, I see that, you know, that's, I don't like how I handled that. Lord, you need to help me. And we can't, because really, we can't do it without him. It's the Christ in us that is going to get us through these trials. And he's just trying to bring that to the forefront so we can, you know, continue to come, you know, more into the image of Christ. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I, you know, I see it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. All right. Does anybody else have, want to tell on the devil? As far as that, yeah, we had a situation, one of our meetings, where David brought, you know, kind of a little correction, and one of the brothers all of a sudden was just feeling like condemnation or something come on him, and he just brought it forth. He just exposed the enemy. And say, you know, hey, pray for me. I'm feeling this. You know, condemnation's trying to come on me, or you know, whatever it is, and I need prayer. And he basically told on the enemy as far as what was trying to attack him, and exposed it. And we prayed as a body, and he was set free, and the trial was over. And I know this brother in the past, he wouldn't have handled it, you know, 2 years, you know, previous, he wouldn't have handled it the way he handled it. But when I saw that, it was like, wow, that was so cool. He just exposed the enemy, exposed the thoughts, he exposed the attack, he got prayer, and it was over. And if he would have internalized that and got into judgment or got into, you know, condemnation or whatever it was, and you know, he could be in a battle for, you know, 2-3 a week, whatever, you know, before the whole thing manifested. But it was like, it was exposed, it was prayed for, it was done, and I thought it was so cool. So, amen.
Yeah, that was awesome to watch, and it was actually a correction from the Lord that came. You know, it was a dream that somebody had from the Lord that exposed the enemy inside the camp, and it was awesome to watch, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, that's that's how the, you know, I was just telling on the devil, getting prayer, and the trial's over. It was like awesome. So I thought it was neat. I found this when Barbara brought up about her husband. It reminded me of a story I found here. And these are Muslims, so I'll probably butcher the name a little bit. But I think it's Gulshan is the woman's name. But Gulshan was studying the Bible with a Christian worker when one day Jesus met her in a dream. And I think it comes out in this story that she was a Muslim and somebody at work was sharing the Bible with her, and then Jesus came to her in a dream, and she said that after that dramatic encounter, she surrendered herself to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and was born again. Word of her decision spread rapidly throughout the village, where Islam is deeply entrenched in people's minds. Soon, Gulshan faced stiff resistance from her neighbors. After the winter arrived, the cold weather drove the villagers off of the streets and into their homes. Now, Gulshan rarely had to meet the disapproval of her neighbors when she went out to the market. But the worst of the persecution came from her husband, Elims. He was upset by his wife's faith, and his anger reached the boiling point. Whenever he saw his wife reading the Bible, he beat her, pulled her hair, dragged her across the floor by her hair, yelling curses at her and insulting the name of Jesus. Her husband's anger towards his wife continued without any signs of letting up. One day, she was reading God's word and singing praise songs. Her husband kicked her out of the house into the snow. He locked her out and left her in the cold without any shoes or a coat. Amazingly, it says, amazingly, she continued to praise Jesus throughout this freezing ordeal. God had so filled my heart with the Holy Spirit and joy, she said, that I simply continued singing and didn't feel the cold as I searched out a place to stay. Her husband eventually let his wife back into the house, but his anger and beatings continued. She stood strong, trusting in the knowledge that God had accepted her even if her husband did not. She continued to read the Bible daily and experienced strength, sustained, encouraged in the fact of much pressure. After a year of this unrelenting persecution, something strange happened to her husband. He woke up suddenly in the middle of the night with a stark realization. "I can't move," he screamed. Paralysis had overtaken his body. Her husband suffered with this new reality, and after a few days, God filled his heart with holy fear. A few nights after the paralysis set in, God revealed to him in a dream that his paralysis was because he had been speaking against Jesus. Like Saul of Tarsus, blinded on the Damascus road, Jesus suddenly had his full attention. Within a week, he repented of his hardened heart and cruel behavior and asked his wife to bring others from her fellowship of believers to pray for him. as a small group of believers gathered around him to pray, they felt God's presence, but his healing wasn't immediately. Slowly, God restored his upper body, and he now has full use of his arms. Meanwhile, his anger and hatred have been transformed. After reflecting on all of the dramatic changes and events that had transpired, he decided to follow Jesus himself. He has become his wife's strongest ally in the gospel, and he has also become a steadfast disciple of the Lord Jesus. And they're just asking, pray for this couple that their radical faith in the Savior would draw many in the hostile village to him. So I thought this was kind of a neat story. So Father, we just lift up this Golzan and Elma, and we just, Lord, we've read your testimonies of you just appearing to these Muslims and in dreams and appearing to them in jail cells and just radically changing these people and showing them the true God and teaching them love and teaching them just forgiveness and just working in their hearts, Lord. And we just praise you for just what you're doing, you know, with these radical Muslims and working in these people to bring them into your fold. And we just praise you for just the awesome testimonies of, you know, how these people are coming to you without evangelists, without even owning Bibles, that you're appearing to them and you're teaching them and bringing them into your fullness, and they're getting radically saved and standing strong for you, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we just you know, thank you for just working to expose the lies of the enemies in these people, in these radical people, and the lies of them believing that, you know, Christians must die and people that don't have, you know, their faith are nothing but infidels and need to be eliminated. And Lord, we just thank you for just bringing a conviction to these radicals. We thank you for saving them. We thank you for you know, we know you've got a plan, that you brought the Assyrians against your people to bring them back to you, to put the fear of the Lord in them. And we know that this is part of your plan, Lord, but we just pray for salvation for these people. And we just praise you for what you're doing. And we just ask you just bless this couple, that they be a light unto you, and that village will be saved. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought that was a awesome story where she stood in faith and her husband kept beating her and persecuting her, and the Lord just took care of business, got his attention. And I'm sure she was praying for him during all this persecution. And he, you know, he got saved. So it's, I thought it was kind of a neat story. So.
Could I add that to that story?
Sure.
You all know about Smith Wigglesworth. His wife was the Christian first. And there was a situation where it was a cold winter day, and this was in London years ago, and his wife was going to go to church, and he said, "I don't want you to go to church." And she said, "Honey, I love you. You're the head of our family, but I've got to obey God. You know, God told me to go. So she went. When she got home, he had locked her out of the house on this cold, wintry night. And so she just huddled up in her coat. And the next morning, she had walked in love. This really shows the power of love. She just loved him anyway. And when he unlocked the door the next morning, she says, "Honey, what do you want for breakfast?" Well, as we know, her love melted his heart. And he became one of the greatest evangelists, you know, on the earth. But your story reminded me of this story.
No, that's true. That is, you know, that's heaping coals. When the Bible talks about heaping coals, you know, on the enemy, you know, just with that love, because it just, they can't explain that. And it's got a powerful effect. And that's why he wants us walking in that. So that's kind of neat. So, and sometimes, you know, like she was being persecuted for over a year before the Lord did that. And you know, I look at stories like that, and I mean, that's not even a, you know, some of these stories are just, you know, over the top. But, you know, she worked in, you know, lived in that persecution for over a year before the you know, the Lord moved on her husband. And, but she just stood strong in her faith and just, you know, she found the Lord. She loved the Lord and she just, you know, stayed in the Word and praising and, you know, the Lord worked in her and worked in her husband. So, and we don't, you know, our carnal thinking is, well, why didn't he do that, you know, the first week? Well, there's, you know, I'm sure that persecution, you know, through tribulation, you know, we come into the kingdom. It shows us what's in us and it works in us and the Lord's got a plan and he's never going to give us more than we can handle. So, which is pretty awesome. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on that or testimonies?
Yeah, I read an account, you know, here a while back that it seems like the Lord is ramping up those dreams and visions that Muslims are having about him. You read, you know, if you go into some of these Christian websites that cater to that type of stuff, you know, you see a lot of stories about Jesus appearing to him. And that's why I remember this one story, this one guy that, man, he had had a couple of dreams about going to hell. And, boy, he was really concerned about that. And then I think it was the third dream or so that Jesus appeared to him and told him, he said, "Look, you're going there. If you don't, come to me," he said, "I am the door, the way, and the light." And of course, the guy dropped to his knees immediately, you know. And things like that are happening all over the Muslim world, not only in the Middle East, but also in China, Russia, all over the world. God is appearing. It's revival is fixing to take off, looks like, because God is showing himself all over the world. In dreams and visions and in bright lights in people's and families' homes and talking to them out of this light. It's just awesome what God's doing.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes we, you know, we're running after him and we're like feeling, you know, "Lord, you know, why aren't you showing yourself to me? Why don't you... you know, talking to me, why aren't you giving me more gifts?" Ba 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 ba. And it's just our pea brain. You know, we don't he's got a plan, you know, he's got a predestined plan for us, and we're trying to make it fit into our understanding. And he just wants us to press into him and love him just you know, walk in obedience, you know, to what he's showing us, and to have a repentant heart as far as you know, as far as to repent of our dead works and the things that he's, you know, he's working in us, and you know, we can't understand everything that he, you know, he brings forth. We just have to know that he's sovereign, he's in control, he puts everybody in front of us, everything that comes from us is from him, and we need to see him in everything, and sometimes that's hard to do, but it's all part of that faith walk. So it's kind of neat. But when you hear testimonies of, you know, him appearing to, you know, these Muslims and that, I think it's, you know, I think it's awesome as far as that. So, all right. Anybody else have any thoughts on their mind? Any revelation, anything? Well, I guess I can, the Lord.
Hey, I got a story.
Awesome.
Okay. ISIS guy. One of those ISIS killers. He'd already killed a bunch of Christians, beheaded him. He was very brutal. And he started having these dreams about this guy dressed in white. And he'd say, "You're killing my people." And he had him, you know, pretty regular. This guy, this man dressed in white in his dreams would tell him, you're killing my people. Stop killing my people. And he started to feel sick and uneasy about what he was doing. And right before he killed another Christian, that Christian told him, he said, "I know you'll kill me, but I'm going to give you my Bible." Well, the Christian was killed, and that fighter took that Bible and began to read it. And then in another dream, Jesus asked him to follow him, and he was now asking to become a follower of Christ and to be a disciple. You know, that's the kind of thing that Jesus is doing there. That man's liable to be a Saul over there, you know. Remember what happened to Saul? He was out there persecuting Christians too, and this guy was too. And then he finally turned because of what God had told him, you know, "Stop killing my people." So we may have a Saul running around over there converting people.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I had shared a story and where this guy, same thing, an ISIS beheading these Christians. And the Lord had him experience from the eyes of the person that he was killing, everyone that he killed. You know, actually, you know, I don't know how the Lord did that, but he said that the Lord made him experience the death of those people through their eyes. And that just brought, you know, just terror on him. And he ended up getting saved through that, you know, through that. So, and it was the same type of thing, the Lord appearing to him. So,
amen.
It's kind of neat. I saw something else that was interesting, and this was talking about some archaeologists found a seal. And it was the first impression of a Israelite Judean king that had ever come to light. And this was in Israel. And it says the Israeli archaeologists digging in the Jerusalem's old city have discovered a rare seal which bears the name of a Judean king mentioned in the Bible. The Ophel excavation at the foot of the southern wall of the Temple Mount, conducted by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem's archaeology, have unearthed an impression of the royal seal of King Hezekiah. And I guess he was 727 to 698 BC. And they say it measures, this is like an insignia ring that they used to stamp. This was actually, it says the oval impression was imprinted on a 3 millimeter thick soft bola, a piece of inscribable clay measuring about 13 by 12 millimeters. Around the impression is the depression left of the frame of the ring in which the seal was set. The impression bears an inscription in ancient Hebrew that says, "Belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah." And it says the seal probably made late in Hezekiah's life also shows a two-winged sun with the wings turned downward, flanked by two ankh symbols symbolizing life. And it says the winged sun is a motif that proclaims God's protection, which gave the regiment its legacy and power, and was also widespread throughout the ancient Near East and used by the Assyrian kings. And I thought, this is what I thought was the most interesting in this whole thing, was that in this insignia ring, or this stamp of King Hezekiah, was a two-winged sun. And they were seeing that as a symbolizing life. But that sounds like what the destroyer looks like. Because that's a two-winged planet or whatever it is. But this was actually on his ring. And but it proclaims God's protection. And gave them, apparently they saw it as giving them power, but they saw it as, God's protection. And, when I was reading this, I was just thinking of the, Nibiru or, Planet X or whatever it is, the images that they're saying on that is actually a winged planet. And, so I thought this was kind of interesting. And then, this symbol proclaiming God's protection, and I was kind of seeing that as the blood over the doorpost when the destroyer came or whatever. I don't know, I don't have a tie into this whole thing, but I just thought the two-winged sun was very interesting. It says the seal originally sealed a document written on papyrus rolls and tied with thin cords, which left their mark on the reverse of the bola. The bola was discovered in 2009 together with many pottery shards and other things such as figures and seals. It says, although the seal impression bears King Hezekiah's name have already been known from the antiquities market since the middle of the 1990s, some with winged scarabs, symbols, and others with a winged sun, this is the first time that a seal impression of an Israelite or Judean king has ever come to light in a scientific archaeologist excavation. So I saw that, and I just thought it was, interesting that they've got a two-winged sun as a type of a symbol, and that's that's the symbol, or that's really what the destroyer looked like from a lot of the things that I've seen on it. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I was just kind of looking at some different things, and I was just seeing how what's going on with the Russian plane being shot down, you know, last week, I think it was, and the, you know, scoffing going between Russia and, you know, over this whole situation. And, you know, I was reading one article, and you don't know what to believe, you know, when you're on the, you know, the internet as far as that. But I typically don't look at, you know, the news that comes out of America. I usually look at alternative news or the BBC or Russian, or, you know, just try to get some different views. And I don't look at the, honestly, I really don't look at the news too often. Just every once in a while, I'll just kind of go on and look at headlines and read a few things. But I was just reading something that, you know, was saying that this whole situation going on with Russia and you know, it's kind of tied in with ISIS, that when Obama and Putin had gotten together, you know, at the G20 summit or whatever it was, and you know, it basically said that, you know, within hours of, you know, Putin and Obama talking, that Obama sent an attack on the ISIS trucks that were bringing oil, you know, their oil caravans or something like that. And, you know, he destroyed like 100 of their transport vehicles. And then right after that, Putin one-upped him and went in, and in like a very short amount of time, you know, he took out like 500 vehicles. And Putin is really looking at taking ISIS out. And, I mean, he's really, you know, put some hurt on ISIS. And, you know, Barack Obama has really been not really serious about this whole thing, because we sort of know, you know, his background. But, you know, they're saying that this, you know, that Putin was calling him a little kid and, you know, just really disgusted with the way he's handling things. And, you know, the whole Turkey is our, you know, we're you know, they're part of the UN and all that. And, you know, we're all tied in with them. So they're kind of, you know, rattling swords, and this thing, you know, could escalate into something. But I was reading that, and I ran across an article, and it was really talking about some of the watchmen, and it was talking about Wilkerson and A.A. Allen and Dmitry Duderman and Henry Gruver, that all had visions of Russia destroying the United States. And, you know, what they did is, you know, they took some of these visions, and they just took excerpts out of it. And it was David Wilkerson, and this was in, basically, I think it was 1985, said that America is going to be destroyed by fire. And, you know, he shares what the Lord showed him. And then A.A. Allen, you know, had the same thing as far as, you know, his vision as far as America being attacked with missiles. And I think those missiles were coming out of the, you know, coming out of the ocean and that. And Dmitry Duderman, you know, talks about America burning and the, you know, the visions he saw. As far as, you know, I think it was in California and, you know, seeing, you know, New York and Las Vegas and Florida and these things just, you know, just going up in, you know, balls of fire, which sounds like nuclear, you know, nuclear hits as far as that. And then, you know, Dmitry Duderman, had an, you know, another vision in 1996, and, Henry Gruver, had a vision in 1985. And, you know, when you look at, without reading all the visions and stuff like that, they were all had very similar, you know, missiles coming out of the ocean, you know, just attacks, fire, America burning. It was, I mean, it was just very amazing how, you know, they just took these excerpts out of each one of these visions over, you know, that's come through over the years just to show, you know, just as warnings as far as what, you know, what will come about or, you know, someday. And we're starting to see, it could be some of the beginning, you know, saber rattling going on between Russia and the United States and all that. And then I also heard that China just built their first military base. I think it's in Africa, outside of China, you know, so they're starting to expand their military and building bases, and they're building bases out in the oceans. And, you know, so there's a lot of interesting things getting set up, you know, for these, you know, this end time to, you know, to come together. So it was kind of neat as far as the warnings that have gone out, and you know, we may be seeing the beginnings of it, you know, transpiring in front of our eyes. So only time will tell. Only time will tell. So, but all right, we're kind of wrapping down. Is does anybody have any last thoughts? Any last prayer needs? Any last thing they'd like to share before we close out? Well, all right. So, Father, we just we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for just, Lord, we just thank you for just all you're doing. We thank you for blessing Jackie and just exposing in her what you're trying to show her, Lord. We thank you for just working in all of us, Lord, as we're, you know, walking this walk of faith and going through these trials and these birthing pains and getting closer to, just closer to you and closer to your truths and closer to walking in righteousness and right before you, Lord. We just thank you for just all that you're exposing. We thank you for getting us through these trials. We thank you for giving us the faith, to putting the patience in us, and to putting the remembrance of your word, to speak your word and stand on your word and stand on your promises, and that you're giving us a hunger for that word and a hunger for your truth, Lord. And Lord, we're just, you know, we just thank you that you have had just mercy on us and grace on us to open our eyes to, you know, to our flesh, and open our eyes to, you know, these end times, and allowing us to see what is transpiring around us, where a lot of the brothers and sisters that we know that are still in the apostate system are just peace and prosperity and are not prepared. And a lot of them think they're just going to fly away, and that they're not going to see any judgment or anything like that, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you're preparing us for this time, Lord. And you had mercy on us to, you know, to open our eyes and to allow us to walk in the Spirit and allow us to press into you and to overcome our flesh and overcome this world. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to just continue to fill us with your faith and fill us with your boldness, and to teach us to stay in the rest and to be, you know, just to be right before you in these days, Lord. And we just thank you for this fellowship that we can come together and just share what you're doing in our lives, pray for each other, and we just ask, Lord, that you just bless everybody in this fellowship. And you just bless their week. You bless their dreams, Lord. Help them to remember their dreams, Lord. Just give them guidance and direction, and meet their needs. Lord, deliver them from the tormentors, and expose the roots. And we praise you for that, Lord. We just thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.